Hi, and welcome to another episode of Walleye Chronicles, where I bring you guys in here and have a conversation with how fishing got you started in your life and how you use fishing every day. Today, I have Zach Stadler with me today. Zach, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. So tell me, how was growing up? Were you rich, poor? How did that kind of start? What's your baseline?
So I started out fishing with my dad. Always, we lived in Green Bay,
okay,
in Suamico area, my whole life. So I spent my whole childhood in the summers, you know, we'd go out and dad would say the night before, hey, you want to go walleye fishing in the morning? You know, 8-year-old, 6-year-old kid all jacked up to go fishing. Yep. So I have to thank a lot to my dad for how much he took me out as a kid, you know, just introducing me to the outdoors and showing me the walleye fishing. Back then, all we did was troll.
Okay.
So that was, you know, set your crawler harnesses out 35 feet back behind the board and you trolled 1 mile an hour. And that's what we did. And it took me, I think I was like 14 or 15. And I got what you would say burnt out of the trolling.
Yep.
But that's when I really got into the musky world too. So I started doing up north musky fishing, Green Bay musky fishing. And at that age, you know, 14, that was around 2010, give or take, you know, that the heydays of Green Bay muskies.
Yep.
I mean, you go out there musky fishing, you would, you know, you'd see someone netting a muskie at all times. So Green Bay was just my heaven for me.
Yep.
For musky fishing and walleye fishing. So I grew up fishing Green Bay my whole life. You know, spring we were out in the rivers chasing the walleye runs. Yep. Summer we were out chasing the eaters, you know, fall we would go out try for trophies, but we also did a lot of deer hunting. So the fall fishing was something I had to pick up later on, you know, because we were big deer hunters.
Yep.
So, you know, September rolled around, October rolled around, fishing stuff got put away pretty much for the most part. And
garage got changed over.
Yep. And it was all hunting, but no, I grew up fishing walleyes and muskies out in Green Bay since a little kid. I mean, I can remember at 6 years old going out there and catching limits of walleyes and then that was the heyday of Green Bay. It didn't matter. You could go anywhere and catch a limit of walleyes back then. But now it's gotten a little tougher, but it's now I've gotten away from the trolling aspect a little bit. And I got into more of the casting, snap jigging. And like this year, I can probably say I have ran one walleye trolling trip all year.
Oh.
You know, otherwise, it's all been casting and snap jigging for walleyes.
Was that because they didn't have the talent to do it or didn't have the skill to do it, or just they wanted to, that was the kind of fishing that was available that day, or?
It was more the amount of people.
Okay.
And the clientele I had. I knew what the clientele I had. They weren't experienced fishermen. So we went with that. But back in the day when I grew up, trolling was the only option. The gobies weren't prevalent like they are now. Now with how prevalent the gobies are in Green Bay, I think it's better to snap jig and mimic those gobies than to do anything else.
I gotcha. So do you remember your first fish you caught? Your first memory?
This is going to get a lot of walleye fishermen laughing, but my first memory of a fish I caught, we were trolling. It was me, my dad, and my mom. We were out trolling on Green Bay. We were trolling original floating Rapalas.
Okay.
It was the orange color, that orange. And we were trolling out on the East Shore Humps by Vincent's there.
Okay.
And we're trolling. We had 6 rods out only. It was the 3 of us, but we only had 6 rods out. And I remember my dad was driving the boat and kind of navigating through a couple other boats. My mom was sitting there just relaxing. I was in the back of the boat. I mean, when we were trolling when I was a kid, I watched those planer boards. If they moved one little bit, you're grabbing a rod. And I remember I was looked at the one side and there's 3. I looked on the other side, there's 3. I looked back on the other side and there was only 2. And I was like, well, that's weird. So I grabbed the rod and I brought it in and it was around a 28, 30 pound sheephead.
Oh.
So that was one of my first.
Started.
Yeah. It took me forever to get it in because it sunk the board. And I was a little kid trying to reel that thing in. But yeah, that was one of my fondest memories of fishing it was a sheephead.
Right.
But it was just, you know, a little kid. And all of a sudden you just watch that board disappear like a bobber.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
When you're young, too, that's what you think planer boards are just going to do. They're just going to sink. And when it did that, I told my dad my planer board was gone. And he's like, okay, we thought we snagged on bottom or something. But no, it was just a big sheephead. I remember that one. Or there was times, too, when I remember when I was starting to get more into the casting aspect. We'd be trolling, me and my dad and my brother would be out there trolling. And they'd be trolling. We'd be running six lines again because we commonly ran six lines in the boat just for more control.
Yep.
When I was younger, and I'd be standing in the front of the boat throwing the original thunder stick deep diver, and I remember the one day I caught like three walleyes just casting in front of the boat, cranking it in as fast as you can, doing everything possibly wrong.
Yeah.
Reeling a crankbait in the spring, cranking it as fast as you can, and I ended up catching like three the one day doing that. So it was, you know, there's just little memories like that with the family.
So when did you first start to fish by yourself? Was it with buddies, you know, in high school? Did you kind of, you know, grow up? So when did that kind of start with your own fishing time?
So in high school, I still fished with my dad quite a bit in high school. But yeah, once I turned 16, my dad made me hook up to, we had a little single axle trailer, and I had a truck, and he's like, okay, you got to back this up and down the driveway six times without having to drive it forward, and then you can take the boat out. So my dad made me prove that I could back the boat in, because that was one thing my dad always drove my dad insane, was guys at the boat landing that didn't know how to back up their trailers. So I started in high school, I really started fishing with buddies too, because I got into with groups of buddies that had the same craziness about fishing that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go out and get done with school and we'd go hook up to the boat and go out there for a couple hours. And, you know, it was between sports and fishing. I mean, I was crazy about fishing. So any waking moment I could fish, I mean, shore fishing, even we'd go out and shore fish. But yeah, it was high school. I would say we really started, even before high school, before we could start driving, we were biking everywhere and going fishing by bike, you know, now. And then once we got the vehicles, it really opened everything up for us. We would go all over the place.
What was the first boat?
My dad's first boat that I was driving was a 2006 Ranger 620.
He let you go on your own.
Yep. I proved to him that I could do it. And actually the funny thing is my first ever trip with the boat had the Ranger 620, and I took it to the Wisconsin River over by Wausau kind of area. And it was in this really steep landing, and my buddy was putting it on the trailer, and I backed the truck in and snapped the prop off the trolling motor. First ever trip. And luckily my dad was fit to be tied when I got home, you know.
Yep.
Kid first time out breaks the trolling motor. Then we went there that same weekend, and he did the same thing because the landing was so steep. So I got a little pressure lifted off me. Then.
So what was it like driving over with the boat for the first time? Was like the world open up for you? Like life's good?
It was. So all my buddies, yes, it opened up for them. It was world's good. You know, we got the freedom and all that. Me, I was like a cat that just ate a thumbful of tacks because I was nervous driving my dad's boat. You know, this is my dad's first high-end boat and that. So he was nice enough to let us even borrow it.
Right.
And yeah, I was nervous. I was excited that I had the freedom, but I was also very nervous driving with that boat and all that, everything, you know. If it was a 65 mile an hour speed limit, I was going 60, 65. There was no, no going That's over the fine. Speed or it was just everything. But yeah, it opened a lot of opportunities and opened up more fishing and more spots for me.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that my dad, he's very old school.
Yep.
If something, he's at the thing, if something's not broke, why try to fix it? So we'd always go to the same spots and fish the same stuff. And if we didn't catch them, I guess the fish aren't biting today. Where I went out and I was doing new stuff, trying new areas. Yep. And I just opened the door for me to learn a lot more new areas.
Did you ever try to pull them into the new stuff and try to get them?
So it took a long time to get my dad to try the new things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one day, so we always go for his birthday. We always go fishing. Now I don't book a trip on his birthday. And he and I went out and I told him the first time he ever went snap jigging, I said, we're going snap jigging.
All right.
He's like, okay, we're not going to catch anything, you know, not believe. And he caught five in the first hour, his five in the first like hour. And ever since then, I think I've seen him put a trolling rod out one time since that date. So it really opened his eyes to see, for him to see the new things. He's got to, but he's one of those guys that you almost have to drag him kicking and screaming.
Yep. Yeah.
But once he sees it, he really loves it. So now he's all in on the snap jigging and all that. So yeah, I would drag him out. You know, you'd get on a hot bite somewhere and it's like, okay, this is the thing. This is the time to show him.
Yeah. Hey, oh yeah. I mean, it helps that way too.
Yeah. It's like that way he can see it. So when it is a slow bite, he can see, okay, it's just a slow bite. It's not the technique.
You guys ever have any arguments in the boat?
Oh, all the time. when me, my dad, and my brother would go fishing, there was a lot of arguments because we were all three of us are hard headed.
Right.
And I was like, well, we need to do this. Yeah. And my brother said, we need to do this. And my dad would say, well, we need to do this. Well, when we were younger, we probably should have listened to my dad a little bit more. I'll be the first to admit it. At some points, we should have listened to my dad more. He probably knew a little bit more. But yeah, there was plenty of arguments in the boat, you know, just three hard-headed guys trying to say what we need to do. So
nonstop bickering.
Oh yeah. But then when it would work for one of us and the other two would not hear the end of it.
Right.
Oh.
So what was your first boat?
My first boat was I bought that Ranger for my dad.
Okay.
And then I got to a Nitro ZV21. Then I went now into another Nitro ZV21 got it last year.
Okay.
So I've had two Nitros now, the ZV21s.
Nice. That's nice.
Yep.
What was your first lure you remember buying growing up?
First lure I ever remember buying was a No. 5 Meps Muskie Killer. And we were going muskie fishing and it was early on and I just was like, oh, I'm going to get a bucktail for this thing. I'm going fishing with my uncles and dad and all them. So I bought a Meps Muskie Killer No. 5. And I remember we were fishing on a lake up north and bringing that thing in. And I had about, at the time, probably a 42 incher, but I was a little kid. That was still when my dad, he would cast my rod out and he'd run up, cast his rod out, bring his bait in, set his rod down, go back, cast mine out because I didn't know how to cast a bait caster yet. So my dad was making twice as many casts as the average person. But I remember I had like a 42 incher follow me in on that trip. And I remember I reeled the rod up and I saw that fish, pulled that bait out of the water, hooked the bait up to the rod, set it down, and the fish was too big. I was so young. I was like, oh, that fish is too big. I set it down and didn't fish anymore for the rest of the day.
Wow. So when did you always fish muskies as a kid too as well?
Yep. Yep. I started out muskie fishing. I caught my first one ever on Pelican Lake up in Rylander.
Okay.
On a topwater.
Oh, that must have been awesome.
Yeah, 49 incher. I can still remember that one. And ever since that day, muskie and walleye have been hooked. Getting into the smallmouth quite a bit now too. They're a riot. So
I mean, growing up in Green Bay, I mean you literally are at the center of the universe for smallmouth, muskies, and walleyes.
I have a bunch of buddies that always want to go up to Canada, and they're like, hey, you want to go to Canada with us? And I'm like, nope. What? Why? Why would I go up to Canada, drive 12 hours to see some scenery? Is about the only thing that I can see. I mean, Green Bay is, in my opinion, the best fishery in the world. All in all, best fishery in the world. I mean, there's St. Clair might be the only one that might rival.
I suppose, yep.
But the walleye fit, because of the walleye fishing, the muskie fishing, and then the smallmouth fishing. But I still think Green Bay's smallmouth fishing is better than St. Clair's smallmouth fishing.
I would think the walleyes are probably the spring bite and that whole aura around the spring. Spring in De Pere is magical.
Well, and that's the thing is everyone just thinks of De Pere. There is.
Oh, yeah, you're okay. You got me. Yeah. All the other inlets.
There's way better fishing. Tell you what, I only fish the Fox River until I can't fish when I can't fish anywhere else.
I gotcha.
As soon as I can fish other places, that fox is in the rearview mirror. There is so many places. That's the thing, too, is there's a lot of things that are – they say there's nothing secret anymore about yep. Green Bay. There's still a lot of things that aren't known about, like, DePere.
Yeah.
And there's some spots that it just will blow your mind when you go out there and fish.
Right. I mean, it's a massive, massive amount of water that you have to
– Yeah, and that's the that is the, one of the hardest parts about guiding it full-time is, I mean, you – They can be have a bite on either shore, and well, that could be 70 miles apart,
right?
Or the two bites are going really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot of spots that you can go. It's nice, and it's a double edged sword. It's a positive and a negative. Well, you go out fishing, your one bite that's been red hot dies.
Mm-hmm.
Usually within 20 miles of you, there's six or seven other spots you can hit
yep.
and make a meat run out of. Walleye fishing, it's like, oh, we might not catch a limit today, but we can go out and still get, you know, if I have four guys, we can get 8-10 walleyes.
Right.
People don't realize Green Bay walleye is an 18-inch Green Bay walleye. It takes a lot of for a person to eat an 18-inch Green Bay walleye. Yeah, so
they're a little different.
Yeah. So we go out there and we can make a meat run and, you know, hit spot, and catch, you know, three or four walleyes off each spot. Well, if I hit yeah. six spots...
So was there a time when you were fishing younger that you realized that you wanted to do something fishing?
Yeah. So when I was a little kid, this was always my dream.
To be a guide?
Yep. To be a hunting and fishing guide. And, you know, I wanted to guide, you know, deer or elk or something like that in the fall and then fish
yep.
in the spring and summer. Well, I kind of realized that with where I'm at, fishing's the name of the game. So that's why I guide majority of the year I spent guiding fishing. I do fall duck hunts too. Yeah. So that is nice, which the duck hunt in Green Bay is unbelievable too. But I've always wanted to be like my first, I remember I can still find it. I have a little book, Your Dream Job. And it's being a hunting/fishing guide is written in there. And that was first grade. So that's been a dream of mine my whole life. And, you know, when you're younger, you don't realize all the work that goes into it, actually, and all the, you know, sleepless nights and all mm-hmm. that stuff. But it's always been a dream, and it's still a dream. Still love it every day. Wake up and love what I do. But
so when do you remember your first guide trip?
I do remember my first guide trip, actually.
Did it go well?
We ended up catching, there was three guys, we ended up catching 12 walleyes, so it was a really good trip,
yep.
But I'll tell you what, I didn't sleep a wink the night before that guide trip. I was, you know, because I went in, and I went in fully invested. I went in full time, right off the get-go.
Okay.
I didn't
tiptoe, you went right in.
Yeah, I went right in, because my thinking was, if you don't go right in right away, you're never going to you're probably never going to go in.
Right. You're going to be half and half.
Yep. You're going to have a nice steady job where and I'm kind of glad I didn't. Cause if I would have went in right away with a, you know, a steady job, yep. I don't know how you'd go, okay, I got a steady job. I got a guaranteed money here.
Mm-hmm.
If I go in full time, I don't have any guaranteed money.
Right.
Cause there's nothing for a guy to call you and say, hey, I can't make it.
Right.
You know, so and that's what actually happened to me on Friday today. I got a phone call. The guy can't make it now on Friday, but I went full in, and it was slow. It was tough the first year. You know, you got to build that clientele base up. You got to build all your advertisement up. So it was tough that first year, but yeah, I remember my first guide trip. I was nervous, really nervous. But in that morning, I remember just go out and do what you do always. And it went smooth. After that, every guide trip has been real smooth. It's just, you got to treat it as, it's just another day of fishing, you know. Right. I actually get, now I'm more nervous when I go fish a few tournaments every year than I am with a guide trip, which I shouldn't be. I should just treat it as, it's just another day of fishing. Every day is tournament day for me.
That's true.
You know, everyone says, oh, well, if you're pre-fishing, you don't have to catch them and all that. Every day, I got to try to get my clients to catch them.
Mm-hmm.
The best fish they can catch and the most fish they can catch. So every day is tournament day for me. I kind of look at it now. So
what species is easier, or would you rather guide muskie, walleyes, or smallmouth?
So, honestly,
or what's your level of?
It always was muskie, walleye, smallmouth. Before, when I first started guiding, because I didn't guide smallmouth that much, I didn't fish smallmouth that much, and then it went muskie, smallmouth, walleye. And now it's starting to get where that smallmouth is starting to take over even over muskie. I love going out. You get the challenge of the smallmouth.
Right.
Everyone thinks that smallmouth fishing, you know, bass fishing is easy. And they can be a challenge. I just love figuring out that puzzle, trying to figure out that puzzle every day. What's going to make them trigger?
There are some massive fish up there.
Oh, my biggest actually I ever caught, I had an afternoon trip. And I had been fishing up by like Gills Rock area, northern Door County area. And they were people from Suamico, and the further they wanted to go up was Little Sturgeon. I was like, well, I'm going to go see out. It was an afternoon trip. So I'm like, I'm in the morning. I'm going to go see what's swimming around in Little Sturgeon. I kind of went up north because the bass were getting into the point of where they're starting to bed. So I'm like, with trips, I'm going to just try to stay up to the north, not target the bedded fish, which that's a whole nother subject, bedded fish. But I went there and I was like, I'm going to go try it, and saw this fish swimming across the sand spot when I was just driving. I was just driving around. I had a rod in my hand, but I wasn't even fishing. And I saw this one. I was like, oh, that's a nice one. Took my bait, threw it out in front of it. And all of a sudden I watched that fish turn and go right to my bait, which never happens. I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, it might eat it. And all of a sudden, hits it, set the hook. It's like, well, it ate it, and it's a good one. And it jumped by the boat, got in, netted it. I'm sitting there by myself, not a boat around me. I'm looking at it. I go, well, it's definitely over six. It's probably close to seven. Put it on the scale. It was 8.25 pounds.
Wow.
Then all of a sudden, I was like, shit, I'm by myself. I got no one here. I'm like, how? So I took a picture of it on the scale, and I put it in my live well for a second because I was trying to figure out what I'm going to do. He had the live well running, so I was like, well, I want to make sure this fish is alive, because stays alive, because this is the fish you want to keep. This is the best genetics. And I'm like, oh, I'm looking, and there's no one close to me. I was like, well, I don't know what I'm even going to do. I was like, well, maybe I'll run back to the landing, see if there's someone there that can snap a picture for me quick, and then I'll run this fish back over here and let it go. And right as I was starting to get stuff put away to run, all of a sudden I see a boat come around the little point right by me, waved him down, he came over by me and snapped a picture for me, and it was... I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. So then my clients get there, I was like, this is swimming around out here, fish like this. So we ended up catching it. I had it was a dad and two sons, and each son caught one that was low or upper fives.
Wow.
That day, dad caught a 6'2", and then one of the boys caught a 52-inch muskie too. Casting for bat. No. So I was like, well, they didn't get an 8.25, but.
Right. But to them, that's, you know, 6 pounds, 5 pounds. That's a massive.
That's a big, a 5 pound smallmouth is a big smallmouth. Yeah. I mean, you look at the tournaments out there, you need 25 pounds to even be in contention. That's true. Yeah.
I think the largest one I've caught is just shy of 7 pounds. And I was in absolute awe.
It's unbelievable. I can't believe how short the fish are out there.
Right. They really are footballs. I mean, they really are footballs.
That big one I caught was only 22 and a half inches long, but it had like a 20 some inch girth.
That's crazy.
It was just one of those freak fish.
Right. So have you ever had your guiding world? Have you ever had any terrible days?
Oh, we've had plenty of terrible days. You know, I've had terrible clients, and I've had terrible, you know, just.
You never yell at your clients like the guy down Florida?
No,
I never. You never freak out and scream at them or nothing like
no,
that?
No, I've never had that. I've had clients where I've gotten upset with, and they knew I was upset with them. And it was, you know, partly I'll take full responsibility. I shouldn't. You got to be a little more professional. But for the most part, I've never got into it, or I've never argued with a client, never gotten a fight with a client. But I've had clients that have breaking rods before doing something, and you're frustrated, and they can tell in your tone that you're frustrated, but you just say, it is what it is. Yeah. You know, we'll figure it out kind of thing. I'll never charge someone for a rod unless I see them do something that's just okay, you're gonna get, I've had it too where I get worked up when I take it hard when the fishing can be tough. Because okay. There's days that the fish just don't bite.
Yeah, you don't get to pick. I mean, you're picking your days, but you don't get to pick the bite.
Yeah, so there's days, and I take it hard because it's like, I look at it, if I'm with this guy, I'm paying this guy, I want to catch fish. I can't guarantee fish, and I book guides before too. Mm-hmm. Like when if I go on a trip and I'll book a guide and we might not catch that many fish. And I tell them, you know, and every guide is the same that I've always been with is the same as me. If we're not catching fish, you know, that guide is worked up. He's trying to do his best. He's everything and just not working out. It's like, it gets frustrating. That's yeah. part gets frustrating. But no, for the most part, I've always had really good clients. Always fishing is, you know, there's obviously there's good days and bad days with mm-hmm. fishing, just fishing in general. The days I hate the worst are like if you have to troll for walleyes or troll for muskies and the weeds are really bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you can be on a million fish. But if those weeds are bad, there's nothing you can do.
Spend all day.
Like yesterday, I was out musky trolling, and the weeds were horrible. I mean, as soon as I'd click that rod off, that board would go back because it was full of weeds. And it's just like, I sat in the back of the boat and pulled the rods for 5 hours straight. Just reeled in, pulled rods, reeled and reset, and just constantly did it. And it was, unless you set your bait down, when you clicked it off, it was right in front of a musky. You ain't going to catch them. So...
I suppose you got weather too. I mean, it get pretty rough up there. Oh, so.
Yeah. I've had to cancel 3 days, I think, or 4 days total in my thing because of wind. There's a lot of times we can fish different areas, but I know, you know around, it's like, oh, it's a northeast wind. We can't, what I wanted to fish, we can't fish anymore. But there's spots I can go and usually there's fish at. But there's been a few times where it was, this is the bite.
Yep.
This is it. If we want to catch fish, we got to be here. And there'll be a northeast wind blowing at 25 miles per hour. And I'll call the guys. I'm like, hey, you know, let's either reschedule or we're going to have to cancel because there's going to be 5-footers, 6-footers rolling out there. I can't take – just insurance-wise and liability-wise, I can't take you guys out there. I mean, I wouldn't go out there and fish. You know, me and my buddies wouldn't go out there and fish. That's the thing too, is a lot of people always ask me, it's like, what would you do? And I'll be like, I wouldn't be out here.
Right.
But.
So do your clients ever let you pick what to do? Or they just want to come fishing? You have anything like that? Or is like, hey.
So I've had quite a few clients that'll say, well, let's go for whatever's biting. And I'll be like, okay, well, this is biting the best. You know, if you want, I always tell them, it's like, hey, are you looking to keep fish? Or are you just looking to go have a good time, catch fish? You don't care. Because if that's the case, like that, you know, right now, if that's the case, they're not looking to keep fish. They're just looking out to go out and have a good time, hang out, you know, joke around, drive around in the boat and see if we can catch a fish or two. Then I'd put the muskie in because there is something about it. When you net a big 50-inch muskie, everyone in the boat is just starstruck. I bet
they go so crazy.
But if they want to keep fish, then I always say, hey, let's go do walleyes. The walleyes aren't going. I'll see if see if I can find a perch bite going. Because sometimes you can find some few perch bites. Green Bay perch fishing is actually starting to get back to being pretty good. It was a little tougher this year compared to last year, but it's still pretty good. But yeah, I'll do look at the walleye slash perch if we are looking to take fish home.
So what's a day like? A guided day, a full day, what would that be like?
So what we do is we
up early.
Yep. I always like to get going right away in the morning just for the fact of there's always, doesn't matter what you fish for, smallmouth, muskie, walleye, perch, doesn't matter. There's that first 45 minutes of light is always, usually the best bite of the day. And just like the last 45 minutes of light is usually the best bite of the day. And so I like to get out there, hit that. And then I can know kind of too, it's like, okay, there's a bunch of fish here. They're still here. We can, and we'll stay and we'll grind these fish out the rest of the time and see what we can get. But also in that 45 minutes, if I pull up there and I can't get bites in that first 45 minutes, I'm gone out of that spot. It's like, okay, these fish aren't eating today. I'll come back and I'll probably come back and hit it once more. If I know that they're walleyes that are down there. maybe they'll start turn on a little later. But for the most part, if they don't bite in that first 45 minutes, more than likely they're not really going to bite the whole day.
That makes sense.
So I'll leave them and I'll go try a different spot and try another spot. And then I'll come back and hit those at the end of the trip. See if we can get them to go.
Yep.
You know, if we need a walleye or two left, you know, let's go see if we can get them to bite here. And I've had a lot of times where I've left and came back and it's like wildfire out there. They just
why we leave?
Yeah. And then they just turn on. So then, you know, especially if like I have a half day and we went out, like I remember this year, we went out one day and there was no fish biting in this one spot. And it was a spot that I was hour and a half, 2 hours, and I was done. Didn't matter how many people I had.
Yep.
Hour and a half, 2 hours, we were done walleye fishing. Pulled out there and the fish were there. Sat there and jigged on them for like an hour. They wouldn't bite. So I went and hit a different reef, hit a weed line, hit some weeds, hit some a rock pile that I got, you know, a bunch of different spots out there. And there was like 45 minutes left in the trip. I was like, oh, let's go hit that spot one last time, see what happens. And pulled in there, and those fish were just jumping in the boat, basically. And there was three guys we had, but in the 45 minutes, we ended up having, I think, 9 walleyes.
Wow.
And they're like, oh, you know, kind of getting disappointed. And they're like, oh, it's all, end of the trip. I was like, I don't think you guys realize this. They're biting this good. Now we're out here till we get 15. So I will actually, if it's been a tough day all day and all of a sudden we find a spot that they're turned on.
Yep.
I'm not going to be that guy that says, oh, 5 hours is up. Yep. Let's go. We're going to, if they're biting, we'll stay out there and we'll finish off. Yeah. Crack our limit.
For the full version of this podcast, check out Fix TV. And remember, follow me on the talk at Smile and Fish and everywhere else at Matt Snell.